I'm going to start this morning by reading a passage of Scripture. These are words that Jesus spoke in John chapter 10. Okay, everybody listen. Here it is. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 3. Jesus said, "The sheep hear his voice." That would be the voice of Jesus, the good shepherd. "And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." And then a few verses later, verse 14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." What a great passage of Scripture. Jesus is talking about sheep. How many of you have ever seen a sheep? Ever? Okay, how many of you have ever been with a sheep? No? Okay, tell me this. Do you know how a sheep goes? Let me hear it. You know that, don't you? Let's all do it together. How does a sheep sound? All right, some of those sound a little more like a goat, but that's all right. Small difference. Okay, so you can make the sound of a sheep. Now I want you to make the sound of a shepherd. What's the sound of a shepherd? We don't know, because we'd need to know what shepherd it is, wouldn't we? If I were the shepherd, then how would you make a sound like me? Okay, here's another question. If you heard my voice, but I wasn't there, do you think you would recognize my voice? You don't think so? Any of you think you could recognize my voice? You've heard it for a while. You want to do a test? Let's do a test. Here we go. If you think this sounds like me, then you raise your hand. Let's listen.
Good morning, boys and girls. Are y'all ready for today's children's message?
All right. Does that sound like me? Raise your hand if you think that's me. Hands back down. Just in case, let's hear another one.
Good morning, boys and girls. Are y'all ready for today's children's message?
What do you think? Was that me?
Yeah.
You think that was me?
Yeah.
Okay, well, some of you voted for the last one, too. Hands back down. Let's hear another one.
Good morning, boys and girls. Are y'all ready for today's children's message?
Yeah.
Was that one me, too?
Yeah.
I've got a lot of different voices. Let's hear another one.
Good morning, boys and girls. Are you ready for today's children's message?
Was that me?
Yeah.
Who do you think that was? You don't know? You think it was me?
Yeah.
Let's hear another one.
Good morning, boys and girls. Are y'all ready for today's children's message?
You think that one's me?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's safer if you just put a check mark by every one of them. Let's try one more.
Good morning, boys and girls. Are y'all ready for today's children's message?
Was that me too? That wasn't me. Okay, I was the next to the last one. Okay, so you think you recognize my voice, except we've just indicated that you really don't even recognize my voice. But the way we learn to recognize people's voices is by spending time with them. So, for example, you should recognize your own dad's voice or your mom's voice because you hear them talk every day. And if you hear them talk every day, you learn to recognize their voice. And that's important. So when Jesus said, "The sheep follow him for they know his voice," that doesn't mean that they hear him with their ears, but rather that they hear him with their hearts. I'll talk to the rest of y'all. They're not interested. So we hear God with our hearts because we've learned to recognize his voice. And the way we learn that is by spending time with him. Well, obviously, we spend time with God in prayer and by reading the Bible, because the Bible is the Word of God. Exactly. So if you want to understand the voice of God and hear the voice of God, you need to be spending time in the Word of God and read God's Word. All right, let's pray together. Thank you, God, that when we open the Bible and we read it, that we are hearing your voice. We thank you, Lord, that you want us to hear you and you want us to follow and obey you. So help us to spend time with you. Let that be true for every boy and girl and every man and woman here and those listening online. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians, please, chapter 3.
I will be reading Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 from the English Standard Version. Whatever translation you have there in your lap, you should be able to easily track with me. It's the same message, slightly different words, but this is all the Word of God. So follow along as I read, beginning with Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be now made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. As we look briefly into some of the truths that are here by studying throughout the scriptures, I pray that you would grant us insight and wisdom, that we would rightly divide the word of truth, and that we would know how to make application into our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage of scripture, Paul clearly points out to the fact that his knowledge of God's will and God's direction for his life came through direct revelation from God. Now, I will admit that sometimes it feels like life-making decisions would be easier if God would give me direct revelation regarding exactly what he wants me to do. That would make life so much easier. Is it too much to ask that God would speak audibly to me with specific instructions for my life? God obviously spoke directly to the Apostle Paul. Some say that God continues to speak directly and audibly to people today. Some years ago, I invited a guest musician to the church that I was serving, and this man claimed that he was hearing from God regularly and directly. Way back 20-something years ago, Brian Kelly of Tennessee claimed that God told him that Jesus was going to return to earth on August 15th, 1999. And according to his confession to police, God also told him to sacrifice his 13-month-old daughter because she was pure and innocent, and so he smothered her to death as a holy sacrifice. Many of us will recall the headlines in the late 80s when Oral Roberts declared that God appeared to him in skyscraper height, no less, and ordered him to raise from his parishioners, from those who listened to his teaching, to raise $8 million. And God also told him, according to his own profession, that if he failed in this mission, that God would, quote, take him home in 1 year, end quote. God supposedly spoke to Charles Manson, instructing him to take the lives of various individuals. Jim Jones claimed that God spoke to him. If we take their word for it, God spoke to people like David Koresh. God regularly speaks, apparently, to Benny Hinn, another popular charismatic televangelist. Some of these so-called messengers of God would have us believe that God desires to speak audibly, or at the very least on a very personal and familiar level to everyone, and that we only need to learn to recognize His voice. Many who are associated with the Bethel Church movement of Redding, California, claim to have regularly heard God's voice. Now, at the time that I contacted this musician, we were living in California, not far from this particular church, but it had not become what it is today. But this musician was invited by me because I had had recommendations from some fellow Christians, mutual Christian friends. And so he was going to come and he was going to share musically with our church family, as well as share any devotional thoughts that he may have. Well, I was surprised during the worship service when he repeatedly stated to us that God had been speaking personally and distinctly to him for years. And this came out over and over. And no doubt many of you have heard similar stories. And you may even know some people who claim that God speaks to them all the time. So what are we to make of these reports? Is there anything we can use as a test to validate such claims? Or are we forced, under the guise of Christian love, to tolerate and embrace every testimony as an authentic expression of God and just accept that these claims are authoritatively God's word? They are God's words to this individual. Since it is glaringly evident and obvious that much of what is claimed to be God speaking is self-delusional at best and satanic at worst, let me offer some biblical direction to assist you in discerning the voice of God. So in your study guide, number one, the first question we're going to answer is, how does God speak? How does God speak? All of this section, by the way, is based on the premise that you already accept the Bible as the true Word of God. And if that is not something that you believe, then we'll need to have a separate conversation, because I'm not going to work into a defense of that right now, although we've done that in recent weeks and months. So how does God speak? Point A, God sometimes speaks directly. Now the Bible indicates that God speaking directly to an individual is rare. It rarely happens, even though we have a thick book in front of us that is supposedly the Word of God, and I believe that it is. Nonetheless, God speaking directly to an individual is rare. And so if we turn back to Exodus chapter 33, for example, we read in verse 9 that when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Even this context makes it clear that God speaking directly to an individual was rare. In Moses' day, it was rare. It was so rare that when they would see Moses go into the tent of meeting, and then this cloud would come out of heaven, that got everybody's attention. Why? Because something unusual was happening. This was not the norm. Something different was happening. And we're told that the people would stand at the doors of their own tents, and they would look in the center of this encampment at the tent of meeting for the Lord. They would see that cloud, and they would know right now God is speaking to Moses. And Moses was hearing him. God spoke to Moses face to face, verse 11 says, as a man speaks to his friend. But this was rare. It was so rare that whenever it happened, it was a community event that everybody wanted to know about, but the only one that heard it was Moses. Point B, God sometimes speaks through the prophets and apostles. God sometimes speaks through prophets and apostles. Now, reading through the Bible, it becomes evident that this was the way that God often chose to communicate throughout biblical history. He would communicate with people through the prophets and apostles. And so in a passage that we're somewhat familiar with, Hebrews chapter 1, if you want to turn back there. In Hebrews chapter 1, the opening verse says, verse 1, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Now notice, it doesn't say that he spoke to all of our fathers directly. It says he spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So God spoke to a prophet like Moses, and then that was communicated outside of that. So God used his prophets in the Old Testament, apostles in the New Testament, in order to communicate with people. And as we read through verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1, there were various ways that he did that. So at times he would speak to the prophets face to face like he did to Moses. At times he would speak through a vision or through a dream. As a matter of fact, we're not even told all the ways in which he communicated it. We know at least one occasion he actually wrote something himself. And that was to Moses with the Ten Commandments. So God communicated at various times and in various ways. Thirdly, point C, God regularly speaks through his revealed word. God regularly speaks through his revealed word. So we've seen that God sometimes speaks directly, and that's rare. God sometimes speaks through the prophets and apostles. That was the common theme throughout biblical history. And God regularly speaks through his revealed word. And this continues to be God's common method of communicating with people. We open the word of God and we read it. And these are the words that were spoken to Moses, to the prophets, to the apostles. And now God is speaking to us through the words that were written down. And this is how he regularly speaks to us today. Second question, to whom does God speak? To whom does God speak? And let's just review some of the things that we just saw. First, God spoke directly to just a few. Now we look at this thick book and we might think, God's speaking all the time. But keep in mind, even the Old Testament scriptures cover thousands of years. So Old Testament, New Testament, this is thousands of years worth of history, and this is what we have as a record for it. And not all of that was given by direct communication. There was some indirect communication, but God spoke directly to just a few. Now, we've already seen that God directly spoke to Moses. He spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. But let's go back a little further in history. When God created Adam and Eve and he put them in the garden, he spoke directly to them. We're told he said this to Moses. He gave him instructions. He gave him directions. So God spoke directly to Adam and to Eve. As the first man and woman created, he spoke to them and told them what they needed to know at that point in history. And even after their fall, he still spoke to them and he pronounced certain curses upon them as well as a veiled promise for what is to come. So it wasn't just who the people who were doing things right that God spoke, because even after they fell, God spoke to them. And indeed, another case would be their son, Cain. God spoke directly to Cain. And Cain, of course, was the one who murdered his brother. God spoke to him in spite of the troubled heart that he had and gave him direction. So God spoke directly to Cain. God spoke directly to Noah. I don't know exactly what that means because we're not told except that God said to Noah, build an ark. And he gave him very precise instructions as to what to build. So God spoke directly to Noah. God spoke to our patriarchs, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now we know from reading that passage that there were times when it was direct and there were other times when it was through dreams, visions, whatever it may be. But God spoke directly to the patriarchs. Of course, we got Moses again. We could follow that up with Joshua, who succeeded Moses. Joshua found himself going into the promised land, and at one point he was confronted with an individual in full armor and full garb for battle, and Joshua pulled out his sword and was ready to go to battle with him, and he says, "Who are you for? Are you with us or are you against us?" And we find out that in this particular case, this was God himself in a theophany or Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. And he said, neither, but as the captain of the Lord of hosts. He was talking to God himself, and God spoke to Joshua. We continue throughout the Old Testament, and we see that God regularly spoke to the prophets. That's how he communicated his word to them. He spoke to the prophets. We move it to the New Testament and we have God speaking specifically to the apostles. We could add a small handful of others, but what we see over the course of entire history is that all in all, this was a pretty small group. This was never the norm. There were never large groups of people who were all hearing the word of God being revealed and spoken directly to them. It was only to a few. That being said, point B, God spoke to many through the prophets and apostles. So those who were in need of a word from the Lord, God would give the prophets that word, and then the prophet was to communicate that to the people. Rather than God speaking directly to the people, he spoke through the prophets. And as we examine scriptures, we find that this goes on in Old Testament times, although admittedly there were specific periods during which prophecy was more pronounced than in others. But we move into the New Testament period, which, by the way, followed a period of some 400 years where God had not spoke directly to anybody. And then comes Jesus. And Jesus, of course, is God. He spoke directly to the apostles. And then after his death and resurrection, God continued to speak to the apostles in some way so that they, in turn, could communicate to others. And we're told that God used the apostles and prophets. So New Testament prophets, I would suggest that those who are in need of a word from the Lord, in order to have the direction that they needed to have, they heard the word of the Lord through the apostles and prophets of the New Testament day because the New Testament was not yet complete. God was going to eventually close the canon, close the scriptures so that this is it. This is God's word. But prior to having completed that, people were dependent upon some word from a prophet. And so in the Old Testament days, Isaiah couldn't get up and say, I want you to open to Isaiah chapter 63 or 64. And they couldn't do that, or 53. They didn't have that. As a matter of fact, he was speaking those words right now and then writing them down so that they would have them for later generations. They certainly didn't have any New Testament revelation. When we come to New Testament, they have all the Old Testament revelation, but they don't have the New Testament yet. All of that was being given through the prophets, through the apostles. And so when God would need something spoken to a specific person or a specific group of people, he used the prophets in order to communicate that. So he spoke to the many through the prophets and apostles. For Moses, instead of God speaking directly to Pharaoh saying, let my people go, God told Moses, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh that this is what I said. So Pharaoh never heard the voice of God. Pharaoh heard the words of God. And he was without excuse accordingly, but he only heard because God told Moses, go say this to Pharaoh. And indeed, the people of Israel only knew the word of God because God told Moses, say this to my people. Even when they thought they might have been hearing something that could be roughly equivalent to the word of God, because Moses was up on the mountain and God was working with him, and so there was a cloud over the mountain and there were rumblings and thunders and whatever else was going on, the people were so scared that they hid in their tents, and they later told Moses, don't let God speak to us. You tell us what he has to say, which was God's plan anyway. And so they didn't hear the voice of God. They heard Moses. We come to the prophets, the rest of the Old Testament. Instead of God speaking directly to all of the Jews, the Hebrew peoples, God sent a prophet and said, I want you to go and speak to my people. You speak to the nation of Israel. You speak to the nation of Judah. You tell them. And the other nations as well. God has his word delivered to some of the surrounding pagan nations. And he said to the prophets, go and speak these words. But they didn't hear the word of God, only the prophets delivered that. When we come to the New Testament, of course, not everybody heard the verbal word of God, the audible word of God. Instead, God used the apostles and said, tell my people this. And so it was through the apostles and prophets. Point C, God speaks to everyone through His revealed Word. Because God used the prophets to write the Old Testament Scriptures, because God used the apostles to write the New Testament Scriptures, then we have God's Word today in its full form. God speaks to us through His Word. And my opening illustration notwithstanding, for those of us who may think, well, yeah, but it'd be so much easier if God would just speak audibly to me and tell me what I need to know. Well, maybe you've heard this quote. If you want to hear God speak, read the Bible. If you want to hear God speak audibly, read the Bible out loud. This is the Word of God. So let's get back to my opening illustrations here. And let's answer a third question. Why should you be concerned about deception regarding God speaking? Why should you be concerned about deception regarding God speaking? Here's your first answer. The Bible tells us that Satan's deception will come in religious clothing. Satan's deception will come in religious clothing. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 12. This is the Apostle Paul, through whom God spoke, which means that the words that we're reading now that are from Paul are actually from God. These are the words of God. 2 Corinthians 11:12. What I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. We are told right here in the very pages of Scripture, in the very Word of God, that we should be concerned about deception regarding God speaking, because there are going to be false apostles, false prophets, false Christ, and Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light in order to lead people astray. So we should be concerned. Now, not all deception is intentional or malicious, at least on the part of the perpetrator. It's certainly malicious on the part of the one behind it all. But all deception in this particular area, all is designed by the enemy in order to detract from God's clear revelation. So this man that came at my invitation to the church where I was responsible for that flock, I was the pastor, and I invited him to share, he said things about what God had spoken to him. Now, as I listened to those things, I will admit that I didn't find anything heretical in what he said. He was not saying some very awful, ugly things to try to cause people to curse Christ. So I don't think he was being malicious. I don't think his thought was, I'm going to lead these people astray. I don't believe that. So it was, I'll just leave it at it. It wasn't malicious. But it was wrong. Because what he was saying could not be validated by the truth of God's Word. So when it comes to false teaching, not all of it is intended to be malicious. And so there's websites out there. There's one in particular entitled God Speaks. And I believe they've updated that one. Some of you may remember this is a message that I have shared with you before, years past. And years past when I looked at this website, I was able to easily find some things that indicated this is not right. Apparently, they're doing a little bit better job of guarding that now. And so as I looked through that website, I wasn't struck with anything that was overtly mistaken or wrong. That being said, there's a lot of websites out there who are going to claim this is what God says to me. and this is what God wants you to know. And then they're going to so-called quote God or give you something that they claim is from God, and it's not. Now, they may not be doing that with the idea of destroying somebody's life, but it still fits into Satan's plan to deceive. And there are countless books about God speaking. And you'll read it, even if it's not about God speaking, even in many books that are just giving testimony as to what God has done, you'll hear terminology like, well, God spoke to me and said. We have churches out there who capitalize on this type of thing. Now, I use the expression Bethel Church because that's the name that they go by in Reading. That is not a church. That is a cult. That is a group that is totally outside the clear teaching of the Word of God. And so if you have any connection to that whatsoever, as your pastor, I urge you to drop that connection and have nothing to do with that. And there's a lot of groups out there like that that go by the title church. And many of those people are not trying to do the wrong thing, but they're being misled and they're being misdirected. So when I think about the many different ways that Satan tries to undermine us, this is a very key way. Other churches or other groups are far more malevolent. And so when it comes to cults, every cult is going to say, God spoke to them in this way. Now, not every cult member will say that, but the founders of the cult invariably have had some sort of revelation from God. God has spoken to them. So whether it's the Mormon church across the street claiming that they were given the Book of Mormon because God sent an angel, Moroni, to give them this, you know, that is claiming divine revelation. Or whether it's the Jehovah's Witnesses who use a Bible that they call the Holy Bible. It's actually the New World Translation, and I would call it a New World Mistranslation because it is very specifically intended to lead people away from the truth that Jesus Christ is indeed the second person of the Trinity, God Himself. So in all of these cults, people are leading us away. The enemy is at work in that. And even if they've got books that don't necessarily say that God spoke to them, you've still got the people who founded it who made such claims, whether it's Mary Baker Eddy or whatever it may be. You got to check these things out and say, wait a minute, is this true? Because these cults are absolutely from the devil himself. And when it comes to people who make a claim that God spoke to them and told them, like Charles Manson, to go and kill somebody, I think it's pretty self-evident. That's demonic at its very core. That is indeed malevolent. Well, here's the truth. Point B, Jesus warned of such deception. Jesus warned of such deception. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 says, Jesus answered, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray." The claim, I am the Christ, is one of the ways they're going to lead people astray. Another one that we could easily discern just by looking at the world around us is that people are going to say, God said to me, and then they're going to give you something that they claim God said. But its intention is to lead astray, and that's why Jesus said, see that no one leads you astray. This is a warning. Jesus said that this deception is going to be out there and we've got to be on our guard. And what's more, point C, Jesus taught that in the end times, the deception would be both convincing and widespread. How convincing is it going to be? Is it going to be convincing enough that you and I are going to be tempted to buy into some of that? And before we too quickly answer, no, I know better than that, let me read for you from Mark chapter 13. Verse 22, these again, the words of Jesus. False Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. And then he adds, but be on guard, I have told you these things. Now, who are the elect? The elect are the ones who are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. It's a genuine believer. And Jesus says that the deception is going to be so widespread and so convincing that if it were possible, even the elect would buy into it. That's enough to sober you up right there. Now, thank the Lord, I don't believe that's possible because of God's protection on us. Nonetheless, we have to be on guard. That's what Jesus said. And he said that even after saying, if possible, meaning it's not possible, but he said, nonetheless, be on guard. So you should be concerned about deception regarding God speaking. That brings us back to the question, number four, how can you listen to God? If I'm supposed to be hearing from God, how can I listen to Him? In what manner can you expect God to communicate with you? I want to read an extended quote from biblical studies professor David McClister. Bear with me and track with me as best you can. David McClister writes, quote, "If you think about it, the hope that God will speak to me directly is the lazy person's way of getting truth from God. It is an approach that says, basically, I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to put forth the effort that is required to study and understand the Bible. I don't want to learn something. I don't want a method that makes me have to think or analyze. I don't want God telling me something in a way that's hard on my brain. I just want God to tell me whatever it is." He goes on, "In fact, it is the way of the person who does not actually trust that the Bible is God's complete revelation to man. Not in the sense that God has told us everything there is to know, but that it is all 100% of what we need to know to live in this world. For these people, either the Bible is not good enough or not helpful enough. But God does not care or cater to human laziness. He did not reveal His will in the Bible only to say, in effect, don't worry about reading the Bible, what I've already said in the Bible. I'll just tell you what you need to know personally as you go along. In fact, for God to speak to people directly today would be an admission on God's part that His written word, the Bible, is insufficient for guidance. It would entail God admitting that His word does not really contain all things that pertain to life and godliness, and that His word is not really sufficient enough to make us adequate and equipped for every good work." End quote. It's a lazy person's way. You don't want to read the Bible, you just want God to tell you. So let's answer this question. How can you listen to God? Point A, you must listen to God through His revealed word. You must listen to God through His revealed word. I just read a portion of it in this quote from David McClister, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, we read this. "All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So the Bible tells us to continue in what we have learned. This is where we learn it. That from the sacred writings, from the Holy Scriptures, we are able to learn what is necessary in order to be saved. They're able to make you wise for salvation. And all Scripture is breathed out by God. It is theopneustos. It is God-breathed, and it is profitable for reproof, for training, and for instruction in righteousness. We need all of those things, and that addresses every area of life. Regardless of whether or not you've got the specifics, if you understand the principles, it addresses every area of life. Secondly, you must listen to God through God-ordained authority. Point B, you must listen to God through God-ordained authority. In other words, God in His Word has said to us, here is part of your responsibility. I'm giving you this responsibility. You need to obey me in these areas. I have set up certain authorities, and you need to be in submission to those authorities. And so for children, for example, that means that your authority involves mainly your parents. It also can involve grandparents, but in terms of chief authority. Children, we read in Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So for a child maybe who's saying, well, I don't know how to read the Bible. How do I know what God's will is? Well, you need to ask your parents. And I'm not going to tell you your parents are always going to give you the right answer. I will tell you it's always right to go to your parents. And it's always right to obey them as far as it lies within you. I'll come back to that in a moment. Because we're going to expand this. What about other sources of authority? Well, for wives, that God-ordained authority includes your husband. Whether you like it or not, by the way. That God-ordained authority includes your husband. And so we read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's pretty straightforward. Not a lot of wiggle room there. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. That's part of the way that God is going to speak to you. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that everything your husband says is the word of the Lord. Not even close. I am telling you that God is going to use that in order to direct your life. For Christians, that God-ordained authority includes your spiritual leaders. That points back to me and other spiritual leaders that are here. But you need to obey your pastor. Submit to that leadership. According to Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. That's me. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So you're supposed to be in submission to your spiritual leadership. And for all of us, that God-ordained authority includes governmental leaders. And again, lest you misread me, I'm not telling you that your governmental leaders are always going to make the right decisions. Matter of fact, I'm hard-pressed to find any decisions they get right. Nonetheless, it doesn't take away from the truth of God's Word that says in Romans 13:1, let every person be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Now, with all of that said, whether it's parents, husband, church leaders, governmental leaders, everything that comes from these sources of authority must be evaluated through the filter of God's holy word. That's not in your notes, but it should be. Everything from any source of authority must be evaluated through the filter of scriptures. I'm not saying that your sources of authority are always going to make the right decisions. I will tell you, as you evaluate their counsel through the scriptures, through the filter of God's holy word, then God can give you wisdom to know how to respond under certain circumstances. You may have a governmental mandate come down at some point in our country, as has come down in other parts of the world, that says you are no longer allowed to belong to the Christian faith. We want you to renounce your faith in Jesus Christ. Well, at that particular point in time, as I filter that command through the Word of God, I can see that would be absolutely in contradiction to what God has clearly said in His Word. And therefore, I respectfully say to you, I will not obey that mandate. I will suffer the consequences, but I will not obey it because it's in opposition to God's Word. So we're going to filter everything through God's Word. That being said, let's add another one to this list. Point C, you must listen to God through godly counselors, not just through God-ordained authority, but through godly counselors. Now, some of these godly counselors are indeed God-ordained authority. And so, for example, as your pastor, I am a God-ordained authority. I am also a counselor. And we read in Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So we need godly counsel. If you don't feel like going to your pastor, or if you've got another trusted Christian friend and you know this is a person who loves God, spends a lot of time in the Word, and has wisdom from God, then go to that counselor. Doesn't matter whether they're in an official position or not. That's a godly source of counsel. Go to them and seek out that counsel and trust God to give that direction. Always evaluating that counsel through the filter of God's holy word. I emphasize that again. You can't trust every counselor, but you need to go to godly counselors, and then you need to say, show me in the Bible why this is true. And let's add another one, point D. You must listen to God through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are those who say, oh, yeah, that's what I always do. It's through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, I'm not going to have us turn there right now, but you need to study that if you're looking at the truth about how the Holy Spirit works. But the truth is that God's Holy Spirit does direct us, but He will never, ever direct us in any way that is contrary to this book. Ever. If you get any direction that you think is from the Holy Spirit that is going contrary to what the Bible says, I can assure you that you're on the wrong track. That is not the Holy Spirit that you're listening to. That is the spirit of the evil one. He will never direct us contrary to the Word of God, which means that if I'm going to filter even the promptings of the Spirit that I'm sensing are coming from the Spirit in my mind, if I'm going to filter that through the Word of God, then by definition, I need to know what the Word of God says. Which brings us right back to where we need to be. We need to be in the Word. We need to know what the Word says. And so let me offer this warning. For all of the different ways that people think they're hearing from God, beware of dreams. Beware of visions. Beware of voices. Beware of circumstances and signs. People will say, well, I just knew God was leading because this happened. Beware of that. If you ask me whether or not I think that's from God, I'm not even going to address the circumstances. I'm going to address the Word of God. That's where we get our answers, not from circumstances. Satan can imitate circumstances in a flash and lead you astray if you're not familiar with the Word of God. Nothing should ever be accepted as the Word of God except the Word of God. These scriptures speak of that which is fully confirmed, as opposed to other things that might call for our attention, and conclude that Scripture alone is absolutely trustworthy. Listen to these verses, 2 Peter chapter 1 and 2, verse 19. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And he continues that thought in chapter 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Only the truth of God's holy word is fully confirmed. We must be in the Word. As you seek God's leading regarding whatever your spiritual gift may be, as you seek God's leading regarding where God wants you to serve, what He wants you to be doing, about the daily choices that you have to make and the decisions that you're forced to make, don't be deceived by Satan or the devil. Don't be deceived into turning aside to unreliable sources of direction, but rather, in conclusion, stay firmly rooted in God's holy word. Stay firmly rooted in God's holy word. Lord, I thank you for reminding us today that your word alone is truth. And that we must be careful, we must be on guard and be alert against deception from the evil one. And I believe that deception is going to continue to increase as time goes on before your return. So Lord, help us to put into practice these truths that we've studied today so that we might find ourselves firmly rooted in your holy word and protected from deception from the evil one. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to bypass our closing song, but I do want to end with this verse from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In the Lord we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. Amen, and God bless.